Hello, hello, and welcome back for the 21st Metroplexity podcast. Big 2-1, our podcast is all grown up in honor of the 21st podcast. I will be podcasting while having some Strongbow. Only 5% alcohol by volume, so I don't think I'll get, totally wasted and leak out, the secrets of all the things you haven't found yet. But, it's the 21st podcast. Figured that I should, at least, partake in its honor. Okay. So, figured I would get this done, before... we were out of August to have the August podcast in, because that would be kind of unfortunate. Let's see. Yeah, so we had the Serpent Shield come out. Lots of little updates. Probably having another little update later this week. So that should be pretty cool. I'm going to start working on September's Unearthly Item. Doing a lot of stuff for Halloween too, obviously. Polishing up the design on Old Town, which is looking more and more interesting. It's really starting to come together as a quest, so that's pretty cool. It'll probably be at least a couple small content type updates before Halloween. Nothing huge, though. Well, I guess two things could be considered biggish, but nothing on the lines of, the Mirror or Old Town coming out or anything like that, but possibly bigger than, the Shield update, although I think people have found everything from the Shield update yet. That's fine. That's about where we're at, and I will forge ahead and answer some questions. First of all, from Here You Do, is my case plan to get the Warrior of the Seas in run going to prove in any way different from getting it out of run beyond being egregiously difficult? I'm not honestly... Oh, your plan to get that in run is the nutcase plan. Okay. I was like, I don't know what your crazy plan is. I don't believe that there are any skills... that change in their acquisition pre and post run at all. So that's sort of where you're at with that. So it'll be the mechanism for gaining it will be exactly the same. There are some of them that end up being, you have a little more access to certain areas before you complete certain quests, stuff like that. If there was, a beating up protesters skill, it would be way easier, to get before you finish the quad quest and stuff like that. Despite looking like a hippie, the idea of having a hippie punching skill is kind of hilarious. Not hilarious enough to put in. It shouldn't be any different from getting it out of run, I guess is the answer. Are any additional cyber categories planned? No, the state that it is in, obviously there will be a lot more cyberware that'll go in, but that's the real meat. Those the slots that it showed up. So those will be sort of the inventory slots, so to speak, going forward. I'm not. I wouldn't be totally shocked if I figured out, another one or two that I wanted at some point. And it's designed to definitely allow that, actually very easily. But I don't have any plans for that going forward. It was more that I designed it and went back through and made sure that I had an example of each. At least one in most cases, two or a bunch with the craftable ones. Any undiscovered methods, ones that are substantially different, not talk to X instead of Y for skill Z, of completing required quests, non-required quests? Let's see. Well, I mean, there are a number of skills that folks have gotten, and almost, not all of the skills by any means, but almost all of the skills do come through quests. So there's a lot of branches that folks haven't dug up. I don't believe, don't quote me on this, but I don't believe that any of them are on the main, main quest line anymore. The Undiscovered tend to stick more on the side quests. As a rule of thumb, just from a design perspective, finishing the side quests tends to be a lot more varied, whereas getting to the end point of the main quests tends to be a lot more varied, if that makes sense. So, just from a design perspective, the side quests will have more of a tree state where you start out at the root and then go up and, end up in the branches that, can be pointed in any number of crazy directions. Whereas the main quest line, I'm not coming up with a good physical analogy for this, but it's sort of, I guess, like a tree with another tree growing off the top or something like that. But you start out, at one point it sort of branches out and then comes back in, so that we don't have an exponentially increasing amount of content required for each step in the main quest line that I put out. Obviously, it's not something that, we're too afraid of doing with, the survivor's quest. It's affected by what survivors you have, stuff like that. But in general, the way that those get pointed out, they tend to, even with the south side quest, it sort of has, two paths that eventually lead, to getting the Eclipse in the same space. How will the Old Town Cyber Clinic work? Will it cost credits to install? Will the installation itself be free with the cyberware cost? I think I'll let you wait for that one. Moving on to some questions from Magnifico, or Mag, but I just like saying Magnifico. I just failed at a concerted attempt to find no evil conduct. Did I mess up somehow? Or is there no such conduct? If so, what are your thoughts on adding one? There is no such conduct, and I will probably not be adding one. The eventual plans for that are sort of at odds with tracking it for conduct, which is not even remotely helpful, I know, but they're sort of like the vision, so to speak, and that will, and the tracking it for conduct would set us off in a totally different direction. Is skill number 37 related to the Ship of the Damned somehow, or is it just coincidentally in the same block of skills? If you can hear the whining kitten, that is Zoe. She is pretty sure the prettiest cat in the world. It's sort of absurd. And now she's purring because she likes me. Okay, let's see. Nope, that break is purely coincidental. On the last podcast, you mentioned that there was a side quest that nobody has found yet. It's been around for a long time now. How many other side quests are all coded up and implemented but still unfound? Wow. I wonder what I was talking about. There's quite a few, so there are some things that I hesitate to even call side quests, but are, pretty substantial blocks of content in the same veins that nobody has found. There are, for example, there's a very quest-like block of content that has two skills associated with it, that nobody's even, like, looked in the general direction of. And I'm probably just forgetting the side quest that I was talking about then. Yeah, you'll have to forgive me for not expanding on that, because I forgot what I was talking about last time. If you had your druthers, what would you want a leaderboard for a reset season to look like in order to feel comfortable starting a new season? What are you most interested in? Number of runs, run times, other factors? I mean, that's mostly up for you guys to figure out. But I think that for the most part, it's a number of runs. And, I mean, that number is going to be substantively smaller in, you know, seasons going forward than it was for, you know, the previous season, you know, leading up to the mirror that just took forever and ever and ever. But, I mean, like, 20 runs or so, you know. I'm not really concerned with the times at all. I think it's, you know, funny if somebody with a really long time on one of them is in the top spot for that coin, but that's not a that's not something I want to push to fix. I just think that it's sort of awesome. As more of the main quest line gets implemented, will cybernetic implants eventually become important enough and easy enough to get that no implants conduct would ever make sense? I think that we might eventually get to that point, along with probably a like a purity of essence conduct to go along with the just say no. I think that's what I ended up calling it. It's either what I called it or what I call it in my head for the no drugs conduct. Just say no. I blame. That's Nancy Reagan, right? I think so. But I'm not 100% sure. It's sort of up to players, as it were. I don't think that. Yeah, I'm not sure how deep the penetration of cyberware into the runs that people actually do will be. But if we were to see a conduct like that, it would probably be around the time we were looking at, like, downtown. If not later. But I probably wouldn't end up considering it before downtown. You just won't have clean access to cybernetics for very long. You know, once we're at Old Town, it's like, oh, you get to the end and you can either, you know, use a cyber clinic or get a conduct. It seems like you want another quest pass there to make it relevant, if that makes sense. But I would still, I would say the jury's out on that. And we'll see how awesome cybernetics end up being, and how that gets integrated into people's runs. You know, if 90% of runs aren't using cybernetics, I don't want to clutter it up having a conduct for it. I guess is really the answer there. But if, you know, 90% of runs are using cybernetics, that would be cool. In the same vein as the other ones. Like, I don't want... I mean, like, the conduct for the type of run that you had is obviously, you know, a... is just, you know, there so that you can tell who you're competing with, more or less. But the other ones I want to be, you know, if not, like, you know, super rare, like closed system, then at least, like, you know, under half. Hopefully that follows. I think I was making sense there. Is there some way to control or at least predict which season it will be in your antique mirror in run? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Is there some way we don't know about to speed up the time it takes to charge the alien defense tool or the alien defense system to an upgraded form? If not, would you consider adding one and or outright shortening the time while it still in Zax's house of coin? Right now, it's possible to have the item equipped for a fight on day one of reset run and still not have it upgrade. For every fight on day one of reset run. It's been a long time since I coded that. So I do not have an immediate answer. It is neither purely random nor purely time-based. So, yes, there are ways to speed it up. I'm not sure if you would want to, necessarily. I leave that up as an exercise to the listener. It does, it's not random, and it's not a purely set time. It's a separate counter, so however you want to deal with that. Are there any Easter eggs hidden in the game? Eggs of external reference or literal eggs? I actually really considered putting in a literal egg at one point, just because it would be adorable. I'm not sure if anyone would have found it anyway. Because really, I mean, when I'm trying to hide things, wow, that just gets kind of scary. But external references, I don't do a ton, or at least I certainly don't do many at all compared to Kingdom of Loathing, which is sort of my, touch point for stuff like that. Which is probably not the best, for this sort of comparison, right? Because it's the idea of going a round of combat without, reference of some nature is a little jarring. A reference or, a joke or a terrible pun that they then punch themselves for. There are a couple of mostly literary references tucked away here and there. I'm not coming up with any references to any other sort of like literature fiction. I'm sorry, that's totally didn't come out correctly. I'm not coming up with references to any other medium. So you've got some references to books, but I don't think there's anything. I mean, there's the remark on the Holocaust coat, which I always thought was enjoyable, which I guess is itself sort of a reference to the old school Holocaust cloak, which I blame my friend Dan, who I used to roleplay with in high school, because he always wanted a Holocaust cloak for his characters. Like, even in games that it clearly wouldn't matter, and like there were no stats for Holocaust cloaks or like costs for Holocaust cloaks, he would want one, and he would just bug you until he got a Holocaust cloak. Except in Dark Sun, actually, which is probably a point in his favor, because you'd probably roast. There's some stuff like that, just sort of little underhanded stuff to things that happened in the past, or in the future, which is now the past. I don't think anything else. something else is leaping to mind. I'm sure I've stashed some other things in there. But mostly it's just taking inspiration from a lot of things that, you know, already exist moving forward in the timeline. I mean, a lot of, like, you know, the stuff Zaibatsu sells would be very familiar to stuff, to people today. A lot of, you know, the tactics that Midgard employs, and, you know, Omnitech and Zaibatsu and all the others would be pretty familiar to folks today. What's the backstory on the Scaled Shield? I mean, from an in-game perspective, there's a little bit of information about that already, mostly just from Zach. But from a design perspective, I can't remember why I decided to do it. Well, I wanted to, when I was doing the bit of shield content that we did a while back, I was thinking that it would be kind of neat to have a shield unearthly item. It sort of grew from there and just and ended up becoming, you know, what it is, so to speak. His history does sort of tie back in with Leandra Silver and the and her mirrors and her craziness and so forth. I'm not sure. I know that. I'm not sure how much of that backstory, of her backstory, is clear. But, I mean, she's dead now, so it doesn't really matter. Dead, you know. Rich women tell no tales, I guess. So I mean, in world, it's got, you know, it's backstory there, but mostly I just wanted to have a shield unearthly item, and then it grew in a way that you will eventually find out, and it may be a while. So that's why I'm sort of stopping my train of thought over and over, because it would involve telling you, you know, what sort of crazy stuff it does, other related crazy stuff, and the third crazy thing, and how they all interrelate. You know how it is. Has Fallout 3 or any other Apocalypse game influenced your crafting and Metroplexy at all? I have not played Fallout 3, so I think it's safe to say that it hasn't. Honestly, most of my inspiration going forward is less from video games and more from pen and paper role-playing games. So, I mean, a lot of callback to Shadowrun. Can't overstate that, really. Just in that it really hits a vein that I feel needs to be hit more often and is really compelling and resonant, but just doesn't get hit very often, which is very unfortunate. I feel like, you know, obviously I can't I can't judge my own work with anything resembling, you know, a unbiased perspective, but I think, setting Metroplexy aside, good or bad, Shadowrun's pretty much the only setting that I've seen that really approaches that sort of cyberpunk magic sort of blending. Although, I did, when I was at Gen Con, talking to Thrillhouse, I did pick up Shanghai Vampocalypse, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, which is pretty much what it sounds like. It's basically a not post-apocalyptic, apocalyptic setting for Savage Worlds, which is in Shanghai and involves vampires and an apocalypse, if you couldn't tell from the name. And I think that then sort of the suzerain forgot what I was pronouncing that to, but view over that. Also does a pretty interesting job. Not quite what I'm aiming at for that, but I think this is another definite move in the right direction. Setting wise, it seems to be more of a Shadow Fist is the card game and Feng Shui is the RPG, if I remember correctly. But reminds me a bit of that in that, like, sort of timelines colliding, and, you know, some of them have magic and some of them have technology sort of approach to it. Whereas I prefer it a little bit more integrated, but I think that's also very valid. What's your favorite way to the game that we get killed? I think my favorite death scene is when the hammer kills you after figuring out what you are and ruptures all of your organs. Not because necessarily it's my best written piece or anything like that, but because there's a lot going on. It's really cool that I wish I could explain more of, but you'll get to see eventually. Let's see. Also, in the not-death, I really appreciate the wolf in the mirror. I just, like, I was writing that, and I was like, there has to be a debuff that you're down a hand. I'm spending, like, not a day, but, like, at least a couple of hours coding that, making sure that everything worked right. Which, because, I mean, there's some things that you just have to do. And it's like, that just had to happen. How far it is cooking in relation to Old Town? I'm not honestly 100% set on what I'm going to do with that. I would not be surprised to see cooking roll out with Old Town. I would also not be surprised to see it roll out either with Downtown or as sort of like a, you know, pre-Downtown launch thing, sort of like how the Net was a pre-Slags? Pre-Survivor. Wait. I've totally forgotten when we launched the Net now, but we launched it right before one of those quests. And how Cybernetics is a pretty Old Town thing. But yes, I would definitely getting closer. My main thing with cooking is that, just as a, so maybe this completely makes me a filthy hippie. But the way that grades of food work, both in the setting of Metroplex and in Metroplexity, just as far as, like, you know, the buffs and energy that they give you, is the less processed crap the food is, the better it is. So, like, you know, if you want actual, like, fresh fruit, that comes at a pretty high premium. Like, you know, you can get, you know, some grapes and stuff through the smuggler, stuff like that. But if you're just, you know, going to a grocery store and getting, like, ingredients and making something, that's something that you're either going to be doing as a, like, upper class sort of person as a hobby, or as, like, someone who works for an upper class person. It's definitely, I shouldn't even really say hobby. Like, it might be even your primary way of feeding yourself, but it's not something that most people in Metroplex can actually afford to do regularly, or at all, in a lot of cases. So, like, the parents of the people at the university, for example, would probably be able to afford to cook and get ingredients. But until you get up to that sort of social strata, which is, I mean, sort of the general arc of the quest, right? It sort of wanders off the rails a bit after downtown, but the arc of the quest, as far as you have it outlined thus far, you are basically like south side. Well, I guess you got the slags too, but south side is aside from the slags, where nobody really lives anymore. Is basically either the worst or, you know, tied for the worst neighborhood in the entire city. You got the docks, where at least there's some money. Nobody really lives there anymore, or ever, really, but, you know, except for people sleeping. And the dock security mostly get rid of them. But, you know, that's a sort of step up. And then the university, I mean, the kids have some money, which is more than you can say for everybody else. And then, you know, you got the slags. But then Old Town is not super well off, but is definitely doing pretty well compared to any of the other areas that you've been. And then downtown is where the real money hangs out. So you might get access to stuff just in that, in Old Town, insofar as it's not a bad place, you know, to put a shop. It's safe, that sort of thing. But actually running into people who also cook, you would probably not even meet them at Old Town, except for, like, a handful of people at the top of the Midgard and Omnitech facilities there. So it's very... I remember... There's no way I'm going to remember where this is from. Probably from some really well-known sci-fi thing that everyone will know what I'm talking about. Because that's how it works. If I actually try to reference it, it'll be something that nobody's ever heard of, and they'll be confused. But, I remember growing up watching a sci-fi program, and at one point they open a, like, it's like kind of almost not quite film noirish, but like there's a guy who I want to say is a private eye who's being hired, and they open up a fridge and there's an actual cut of meat in there, and that's, and sort of to establish the setting, like the person who is being hired, who, you know, may not even be male, obviously my memory is not the best, but is, you know, like, shocked that they have, like, actual meat there. And that's sort of the trajectory that you're seeing within Metroplex. So, like, you go from complete garbage up through, you know, actual fresh food, and then in the nicest places in, like, downtown, you'll see stuff pretty well prepared. Yeah, you'll have to wait and see how things progress from there, but that's sort of the general trajectory. So, cooking, to actually answer your question, sometime between the launch of Old Town and the launch of Downtown, inclusive, cooking should roll out. How long would you be willing to push back Old Town until I finally run out of content to explain and actually start doing speedruns? Feel free to ignore this one entirely. It's just me being greedy. Well, keep in mind that making a main questline quest is a pretty huge undertaking. So it'll probably still be a bit. I mean, I've got the design mostly set, and I've got, you know, half of the art I'll probably end up using. But, you know, finishing up the design, and by which I mean going from, like, I've got, you know, sort of the, like, almost like the quest log, right? But breaking that down to, like, you know, what encounters do I want? What enemies do I want? What sort of items do I want? You know, and in that more, the next, you know, set of dots in on the outline. Excuse me. And that and then I need to get art for those, which will be, I'll probably be requesting that next week. And then, you know, get that back, and and then I get to jump in and do Halloween, Christmas, and all that. So, it's probably still a ways out, I guess, is the moral of the story. Will we ever be able to just kill Mecha and take over slash Rabbit store? This could be a very fun way to get the cooking skill. It would be kind of hilarious. There's actually something else I've been meaning to do with Mecha forever and ever and ever. I want to say Argus suggested it, like, 2.5 years ago. Probably not that long ago. That's just me thinking out loud. When everything is said and done, and this is like after I finish the main quest line, all of that stuff is all said. I would like everyone, like every single person that you meet face to face, to be killable. And I don't think that that's necessarily, like, it's not, like, high on my list of things that I need to do, but I would like to see, you know, Mikhail and Lo and Hell all be killable. And it might only be in this special run type. I don't know how exactly it's going to work out, you know, like, how the quests sort of propel you with everybody dead. I would very seriously like to do that, and I think that you will see that eventually. I don't think that you will necessarily see that soon, though. How many etheric techniques can you do in real life? Well, I got this downside where I don't have any eclipse handy most of the time. But, you know, I can do the chanting in a strange tongue, and I can, you know, stare at people, but nothing happens. You know, reach out my clawed hand, and tug towards them, twist my face grotesquely. You know, I've got a lot of techniques, but just don't have the proper fuel for them most of the time. I'm suddenly very tempted to make a tome of binding. Just because that would be awesome. I don't necessarily feel that this is a good idea, but every time that I've ever cosplayed, cosplay isn't even really a very good word for it, every time that I've worn a costume to a gaming convention, it has been for what we call System, which is the name that we used for a role-playing game system that we sort of developed in high school and played through college, it was not, like, released, right? So, I would be wearing costumes for the setting that, like, literally nobody had ever heard of. Like, me and the person next to me, who was Liz, who made the costume, were the only people at the entire convention who made this idea. But we always asked over and over and over, like, what character are you? And it's like, well, and then just launched the spiel. But it has definitely occurred to me that it would be tempting to put together a Metroplexity costume to see if people still do that, and I could give them, you know, bookmarks. A friend of ours by the name of Tina had a pretty solid Shadowrun elf costume at Gen Con this year. That's neither here nor there, as but she did. I'm totally not going to be able to explain this well, but she had like lights on her hands, like in her palms, and they were triggered just with like little movements in her thumbs, so it wasn't immediately obvious that she was doing it, but she could, like, you know, do like the cuppy hand, like glowy ball of energy thing, which, like, wasn't as good as you could do with CGI or anything like that, but was pretty fucking sweet, like, in the, you know, costuming scheme of things. which, again, is totally neither here nor there, but I was thinking about having an actual Tome of Binding. And, you know, carrying that around with me, and, you know, I'd probably have to go as, like, Shard or Saber. Because that just seems appropriate. Hi to Puyo. I will tell Puyo hi. Not many questions are coming to mind to me. Probably done for this room. That's fine. What do Womberdats wear? Will they sleep around in bars? I believe they dress in women's clothing. I'm totally going to launch into another story. I apologize to everyone who's listening to this. Actually expecting to get answers to questions, but really, shame on you for expecting actual answers to questions. So I'm running a Pathfinder game for Liz and some of our friends here. And for those of you who aren't up with the current sitch with pen and paper role-playing games, Pathfinder is sort of a fork off of 3rd edition D&D, which is actually beating 4th edition D&D in sales right now, which is pretty much the only time that's ever happened in the history of pen and paper RPGs. So that's really cool. And the people who design it, really nice guys. Girls, I'm not sure if any of their designers are female. We'll say guys and girls, though. The ones who I've met who do their design have all been males, and they're all amazing, I guess, is the moral of the story there. Buy their stuff. But how this comes back around to the Lumberjacks song is they have goblins in Pathfinder who are just incredibly adorable. They're sort of like cute in the way that, like, the tooth fairies from Hellboy 2 are cute. They're just like, I guess they have eyes too, which is part of what makes the tooth fairies less cute. Don't think they have eyes. Anyway. But they're just sort of like small, and they've kind of lemon-shaped heads and these huge mouths that go all the way across and are full of, you know, toothiness. Not toothsomeness, which Meg was kind enough to inform me means that they're, like, tasty or hot, I think. Anyway, occasionally I use words badly. Meg is like, seriously, dude. Speaking of which, I need to... Alright, anyway. Moral of the story. Really cute goblins. But one of their primary cultural characteristics in Pathfinder, along with a lot of other actually really interesting stuff that gets overshadowed by how adorable they are, is that... So they don't have a written language at all. They don't do writing. And so they're... one of the most important positions in the tribe is the war singer, which is actually a bard in D&D terms, which is just hilarious, because it means that you actually have, like, bards, you know, being effective, like, the party fighting bards. But so, like, they just sing a lot. And so anytime the party runs into goblins, they almost invariably end up singing. But I'm, A, a terrible singer, and B, like, don't have, like, a broad amount of, you know, melodies available to me. So they just get songs like, we chop down trees, we build some poults, and then we kill some dwarves, and, like, you know, just, like, verses and verses and verses of that, which actually drove one of the PCs almost to just, like, a genocidal level of hatred of goblins the first time that he ran into them. But they have come to love their goblin neighbors. That is probably the only time you'll ever hear me sing, so savor it. Anyway, moral of the story. Pathfinder goblins are adorable. Alright, some questions from Dr. Zombie. My questions are all about the mirror. Oh, yes. As you probably know, I've been trying lots of things to spay the snake tunnel run in the mirror. I don't remember exactly what information is posted, but I'm curious as to the last piece of the puzzle. I will be vague as possible for people who do not want to be spoiled. I know that the direction the snake will turn at each step, but not necessarily the starting position. I heard that there's a reliable way to get to the end of the run, at least the final step. If this information is true, then, is there a way to prevent poison from getting into your system or at a minimal stop you from slowing down? should be able to get through without getting poisoned. Alternately, is the way to keep the snake from successfully biting you, see above. Is there a way to predict which direction the snake is actually moving other than improving your perception to 200+, i.e. is there a hidden pattern we haven't been able to discover? Some kind. Does the first move the snake makes determine the second or the third? I think I will skip that minefield of question. But there are definitely patterns within the snake's entire run. Is there a strip guide that will help improve players' abilities to determine what direction the snake is moving? I don't specifically remember coding something like that in there, but it would not surprise me. Have all of the reflected items been found yet? I think so? There's still quite a bit of undiscovered stuff, but the reflected items are supposed to be found pretty fast, so if there's anything missing there. Yeah, no, I think you're fine on those. Lastly, does a stand your ground option do anything except get you killed? Is there an instance in which stand your ground will do something, or is it just an escape option? That one is just an escape option, so I wouldn't worry about that too much. For a while, it was bugged, and it would kill you, but not reset your progress in the puzzle, which was weird. But that's been fixed for quite a while now. And for an unsnake-related mirror question, recent discovery by Meg about the Word of the Sheaves showed us just how important and intricate time messages can be in the grand scheme of things, namely the order of certain events. The mirror clearly takes place in four seasons and possibly four different times, so does order matter? Order can matter in the mirror. I would not take that as a... It's not a huge thing. The order mattering. It matters in one fairly narrow case, I guess, is the moral of the story. So I wouldn't sculpt your life around it, around the order. But there certainly are, that's, you know, you're looking at that and you're thinking that's clearly too big, good an opportunity for Kinect to pass up, and you're right. Lastly, a couple questions from Vols. Are you considering any alternate donation methods? I discounted subscription rate for automatic monthly donations. I ask because I really want the mirror, but I'm not playing the game right now and having trouble fooling myself into purchasing it. There would be a lot of trouble with a automated monthly donation, in that, as proven by the mirror, I have gone... there just is not an item released every month, and I wouldn't have any problem being like, okay, like, if you just, like, automatically deduct $5 a month, you know, you get the item for every month, or something like that, like, whatever it ended up being. But, I think if something's gonna be late, I would rather just be late than rush it so that I'm not screwing over people who have subscriptions. I'm not really just a big fan of subscriptions to begin with. I'm not really going to say on principle exactly, but it adds a lot of managerial overhead to something that really just doesn't need to be all that hard. What I would be more likely to consider doing is something like, if you donate, you know, above a certain amount, you might get an extra amount of the coin or something like that. But I don't think that would necessarily fix your issue as it stands. Any thoughts on giving out resource rewards on day turn skill basis as well as day skill turn? I don't think that we will end up doing that. Turn is included there mostly just as a tiebreaker, because it's a large number. You know, like, day and skills are both in the, like, you know, sort of the ones place most of the time, right? And the turns are in the hundreds place. So, I get three significant digits, I guess, is actually more of what I'm trying to say there. So, it works really well as a tiebreaker. What I don't like it for, is putting more to it than that. What I would like to be able to see is people making decisions about, like, okay, like, you know, do I craft these drugs? You know, do I fish and cut up and make some sushi? Do I, you know, put in the extra effort to get the skill? Will that slow down my day count? And I think that day skill energy works out much better for that than day energy skill. I think that day energy, because really at that point skill is just irrelevant. Let's be fair. It's really just day energy, because that's where you have, you know, you're not going to have tie breaks on energy very often. It forces a lot more focus on not using, not playing the game in a lot of senses. Basically trying to avoid playing the game as much as possible. Actually, I think that's a really good way to put that. So whereas you've got, like, you know, day skill energy really is saying, you know, you have, in effect, you know, X days, right? Whatever, however long, you know, the top runs are taking for that. You have X days. How many skills can you get while completing a request? And whereas day's energy, it's saying, how little energy can you use to complete the quest? Don't accidentally spend an extra day on it. Like, it's just really reinforcing, go, 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 go. Whereas, even in a sort of competitive basis, I would prefer that people can, if not stop and smell the roses, you know, explore the content a little bit. Both because I think that's way more fun, and I'm a big believer in suggesting people have fun, rewarding people for having fun, I guess would be the way to put that. But also because it's easy to lose track of, even for me, but I do want this content tested. And part of that is just, you know, are you going to, like, if you have, you know, an optimal path through this, are you going to just blaze through that optimal path over and over again? And I think that there's going to be some of that, regardless of what happens, but I think that placing too heavy a weight on energy, by which I mean more than we absolutely have to, makes that more relevant. More of a problem. So no, I guess I don't think I'm going to do that. But it's certainly, I'm certainly open to other types of contests. Actually, something that I was thinking about, and folks are welcome to poke thoughts at me with this in the answers thread. But I was thinking about how it was Happy Yeti. Let me actually check. Maybe Yeah, Half Yeti. Had a 6-conduct run last season, which is pretty cool. And that's something that I would, like, I don't think that there's, well, A, it would be a complete nightmare code-wise, and there's, it's not something where it can be like, oh, however, whoever gets the most conduct in this run, in this season, gets, you know, a reward or something. And I don't really want it to be that sterile, either, because I don't want conducts to be like that. I want conducts to be just, like, something cool, right? What I was thinking about doing, this is the part that I was actually saying I could use some feedback on, is having some sort of not me, body, like a person or like a tribunal, cause that just makes it sound awesome, who, are assigned the task of rewarding, choosing a run each season that is just cool for some reason. So, like, you know, you got the first 6 conducts run. That's awesome. Here's your, you know, scootily spooge. Your first run through the game was, you know, almost got the prize. That's awesome. Here you go. Or, like, you know, you managed to, you know, not eat or use anything but Eclipse, but still got through in, you know, 6 days or whatever. That's totally awesome. Here you go. You know, whatever, just, like, purely subjective, like, not even pretending to not be subjective, like, almost like art critique. And one of them, you know, gets to play the Russian judge. But, and then, like, obviously, I would create some kind of item, and they would, you know, tell me who they wanted to go to, and why, and I would send the person that item, basically. And I think that could potentially be cool, or potentially be, you know, a giant, catastrophe, if I may quote Jon Stewart. But it sounds like kind of a neat idea. And it also would let them do things like, I forget who did the no resting run. Crypto? Maybe. But, like, runs that are cool but don't have conducts for them or get conducts created from them, I think would be, like Al's no death run, stuff like that. It would also be, you know, just cool things for that. Or, you know, like, if somebody, you know, does a totally normal run but, like, makes a really interesting, you know, post on the forum, you know, with their run record or whatever. Actually, just as a general principle, I would like to see, I would not mind if people did more run records on the forums. If people feel like, if people would do that more if I created a forum for that, let me know that also. And I can do that. Because that's the sort of, like, I mean, there's a certain amount of stuff that I can figure out just, like, you know, looking at system logs and stuff like that. But, like, there are probably sticking points in the game, or, you know, things that, you know, there's supposed to be, you know, oh, like, if you do this, this is supposed to happen, but it's not immediately clear, right? And that just never happens because it's bugs. You know, things like that, that aren't necessarily immediately obvious, just, you know, looking at the code, that would actually help me out. But also the sort of thing that, you know, this tribunal could reward. Or, you know, like, do any number of other ways. That's just me thinking out loud. I don't think it's something that's strictly speaking needed or anything, but it could be kind of cool. Or if people, you know, just wanted to go off and do this, that would be even cooler. Because it certainly saves me time and effort. So, I think that is that. So, totally not pouring one out for the 21st podcast, but mostly because I'm in our dining room, it would leave a sticky spot on the floor and be kind of distressing. Oh, and by the time you will be listening to this, it will be my birthday, server time. So, that's cool. Ginnix, turn 30! I'm all, I don't know, not really old, but older. You know, traveling through time at a 1-to-1 ratio, like you do. That'll be exciting. Tell me what you have to think, tribunalness, weather, whether, I know that run records are a ton of work, and I'm not going to, like, force anyone to do that, but if it's something you'd be interested in doing and you just don't want to clutter up the forums, or if it's something you just didn't know that I appreciated people doing, feel free to let me know. About that, and I think we are good, and I will keep some little content rolling. Like I said, the next they're actually I would expect to see one or two small zone revamps before Halloween. One I'm pretty much set on, the second one sort of eyeing cautiously. And we're not talking about anything on the order of the docks, sewer hideout, rather, revamp. But in the same sort of, like, vein, I guess, making things a little more Metroplexity-y, where they're not necessarily. And yeah, I just totally did that. And then Halloween coming up. I guess I'll save that for later. I was totally going to give you a teaser. We've got another entire podcast for them, at least, so we'll save the teaser for later. And then after that we've got Christmas coming up, and Old Town will be dropping sometime. I would not honestly start holding your breath until after Christmas, but at the rate that I've been churning through content and getting stuff done, it would not totally shock me if it came out in November or December, but if you quote me on that, I'll be a sad guy. That's just me being unnecessarily enthusiastic. So, thanks for listening, and thanks for playing, and thanks for testing and donating. We will pretty much surely be at Origins next year. Along with just my usual, you know, trip to Gen Con to enjoy Gen Con. If you want to meet up with the crew, you can do that at either of those. Thanks for sending in questions, and have an excellent rest of August. Thanks, have a good one.